Welcome to the Voice of Destiny Show with your host, Dr. Daniel Hopp, where kingdom information and revelation is power to be, do, and have everything God has destined for you. For more information about Voice of Destiny or to order copies of today's show, visit our website at voiceofdestiny.org. That's voiceofdestiny.org. And become a fan on Facebook or follow us on Twitter under the name of The VOD Show.
Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. Welcome to the Voice of Destiny Show. If this is your very first time tuning in, I'm your host, I'm Dr. Daniel Hopps. My guest again today is Pastor Paulie Peterson, who has an incredible compassion for the world to help people understand the power of Christ in their life. And we have been talking about the value of hearing the voice of God and the things that we need to do to seize the moment and the hour because of everything that God is doing, but the incredible amount of strategies and resources that he's made available for me and he's made available for you. Pastor Paulie, please talk to us about what God has unspoken to your heart about these times and things that we should understand about hearing the voice of God and his ability to bring us into his culture and his way of doing.
First of all, good evening, good afternoon, Dr. Hopps, and it's awesome to be with you today.
Thank you.
I wanted to talk a little bit about strategies for me this year. Is number mm-hmm. one, that I'm really seeking God in prayer. I'm really asking, seeking, and knocking with God. And mm-hmm. seeking, I found out the difference in my life so far, the difference in doing good things for God and doing God's divine assignments. So this
wow.
year, Dr. Hopps, I'm entering the new year praying, Father, thy will, the same way that Jesus prayed. And I haven't always, I prayed thy will, but in things where maybe I wasn't in alignment with his will. But now I'm praying thy will when it comes to knowing my assignment. And so I'm seeking God and saying, God, reveal to me not your divine purpose, Father, according to your word, Father. And I'm asking him to show me specifically what does he have for me for this year. And here's some of the things that he showed me. Number one, that's number one. That's huge. Number one was to not only just pray, but to seek God's divine purpose for my life and not just be doing good things. Nothing's wrong with doing good things, but I'm called to enact certain things for God in the body of Christ. And so that's why I began to pray that God will show me his divine purpose for 2016.
Wow, Paulie, I think that was an incredible word that God just gave you because Paul told Timothy to war a good warfare with the prophecy God spoke of you. And this is a prophetic pronunciation that I really believe God is speaking to the church, and that is less is more. That God wants us to examine the thing that is in hand. You know, a lot of times when we were kids, our parents would come and tell us to do this and to do that. And we were like, well, which one do I do? You know, which one do I do? And we would have to detect what was the most urgent and timely thing that was important to our parents that I believe right now with all the good stuff that's being thrown at us. And I believe the enemy that a lot of us are going to have to be dealing with is not going to be the bad, but it's going to be the good things, multiple good things that are invading our life space and begging us to act on them. But God wants us to discern between what is a good thing, but what is the God thing. And I think that word that God gave you is so pronounced. And I wanted to confirm with you, the Lord spoke the same thing to me, that one of the things for this year of new beginnings that God's calling us into is that less is more. God wants us to focus on kingdom priorities and unplug ourselves from things that are maybe good, but they aren't the priority that the Father God has at hand.
Right, and I was out to lunch, just to show you, Dr. Hopp, I was out to lunch with a pastor from Swaziland, Africa, last week. I've always supported him, but when we were having lunch, the Spirit of the Lord overtook me after I had been praying for a time about really seeking divine assignment, and God showed me that he is one of my divine assignments. I would have I thought I was really through with Africa because I really sown into Africa this past year in prayer and offerings and in counsel and wisdom. And I've seen God bring forth a lot of fruitfulness from Africa. And so when this pastor was here, I had no intentions in my heart of going in and working hand in hand with him. But the compassion of the Lord overtook me. where we were out lunch, and I started crying. And I told the pastor in front of me, she said, "What's wrong?" I mean, we had a joyful time. We had a wonderful lunch. And I said, "The Lord has put that pastor in my heart. He's a missionary to a country that has the largest amount of AIDS with women and children. And God has put it in." That's one of my divine purposes, is how I knew it was the compassion of the Lord. Always over, when God speaks to me with an assignment, I always know because his compassion overtakes me. And that was that crying and the compassion that God has. So I knew, Dr. Hoff, there was something that I had that could help that pastor further the ministry in Swaziland, Africa. That's number one. Wow. That's number two. So I really thank God that he's really beginning to show me what my purpose is. And the second thing, third thing is that he's beginning to show me is that I will complete the book, my third book, with him. I started that book in this year, but I have not completed it. So one of the things that I'm going to do with divine purpose that the Lord has is complete the divine purposes that he's spoken in my heart specifically and not get pulled into doing so many good things that you said, because there's always so many good things that we can do.
Yeah.
And I'm the kind of a person, because I walk in compassion, if there's a need, I always want to help that person. Because it's a natural thing for me to do that because of the compassion of the Lord that dwells in me and the gifts that he's given me of love and compassion. So there's nothing wrong with that. But God really wants me to wait upon him and really seek the assignment. And one of those assignments, like I said, was to help this pastor in Swaziland to reach out to the women and the children with AIDS there and to seek God and what my part is into. And I believe I already know a big part of mine. And so the next thing God has shown me is that for this coming year, to step into his divine promises that he's spoken to me already, not to lay back, not to let timidity, not to let insecurity, but to step in. I'm standing right now, Dr. Hoff, so that I can just step forward and possess the promises of God that he's already spoken to me this year, that I'm to step into those for the new year. Because as I step into it, that's an act of faith, and I know God and his word is one, and I know God never lies. So I know those promises are mine, but my part is to step into it.
Polly, the prophetic wisdom that God gave you about what his agenda is for the new is something that all of us can draw from, because it's really pointing to the idea of repentance, that we all must go into the atmosphere of the new year with repentance in our heart and in our mind and our actions, because repentance is an about face from sin and dead works. God wants us to turn from sin, which is hamartia. It's not even necessarily something icky or bad. It's simply that this is below the standard of what God has in store for us. Or this thing that we are doing, even though a good thing, it's not the thing that God wants us to do, come sin. And we must be willing to turn from the sacred cows of our works, the sacred cows of our culture, and let go anything that any work that doesn't have God's life and timing in it. You know, it's an entire change of mind that we need to begin to enter into a kingdom centric mindset about God's business, that we need to be business minded when it comes to these things that God are mandating us to do in the new year. And of course, the word repentance comes from a couple of Hebrew words and Greek words. The Hebrew word for repentance is nahem, which means to feel sorry, you know, to lament. You know, a lot of times when my kids are saying, "Oh, Dad, I'm sorry for something," and they really don't mean that they sorry. What they mean is they got sorry, they got caught. And I know that if they don't really feel sorry for what they did, from understanding what they did, they're going to go back and do it all over again. And we need to understand some of these things that God is calling us to repent of. They're not the icky bad things, the violation of the Ten Commandments. God is saying, "Look, I want you to stop eating certain kind of food. I want you to stop associating with certain people. I want you to stop doing certain types of business, you know, or certain type of ministry, because I want to use it in another area." We've got to have the conviction of turning, which brings me to the Hebrew word for repentance, which is shuv, which means to turn back, to make a radical change. A lot of times we're getting around to doing what God told us to do. We're getting around to changing. God don't want us to get around to some things going into this atmosphere of the new year. He literally wants us to radically shift and change and have an about peace, and to not go south anymore, but to move our packages of life, everything that pertains to our life, and to place it as north of average. That means that we're going to have to repent. We're going to have to change not only the things that we're doing, but we first of all got to change the level of thinking that we have in order for us to walk into the full measure that God has in store for us. God will often give us a word, and then that word can become obsolete. It can expire. That God did give us that word, but God is telling us to do something different. And just because we did it last year doesn't mean that God wants us to do it now. We must realize that change is one of the essence of relating to the physical world and the spiritual world. There are always changes. For example, in Genesis, God clearly told Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, yet later God told him not to touch the land. Was God confused? No, God wasn't confused. God was trying to move Abraham to a place to use him. And sometimes God will tell us to do a thing or set a goal for a thing. And while we're en route to do it, God will shift us into something else. It doesn't mean that God's confused. You have to understand that God really is aware of changing atmospheres, things that changes in the atmosphere that we need to respond to through our correction and through our repentance and to our change of mind. God in one instance said to the prophet Elijah, go to the brook and drink and be fed by the ravens. And then another instance, he said to the widow of Zarephath, go to the widow of Zarephath, and there you will be sustained. God is not always going to direct you to go to the same well. So as we are crossing over into the new year, be willing to make changes. Be willing to let go some of the resource that we relied on. But let's turn to God to be our ultimate source. We're going to take a destiny break right here. We're going to come back and talk about one of the major strategies God wants us to operate in is the power of prayer and fasting. We'll be right back. Welcome back, brothers and sisters. If you're just tuned in, you are listening to the Voice of Destiny show. My co-host today is Pastor Pauli Peterson, a great marketplace pastor that God has given a great ability to bring compassion to. And she's a gatekeeper to our city. And I love always to hear Polly's wisdom about what God is saying, because many times we miss such great opportunities for us because we don't have wise counsel. And so one of the things, Pauli, we were talking about is counsel God was giving us about fasting and prayer. Do you want to talk a little bit about that and how you feel about the importance of using prayer and fasting as a strategy for the atmosphere of the new year?
Absolutely, absolutely. God brought me to Mark 9:23 while we were on a break. He says to me, if you can believe, Pauli, all things are possible to you that believe. And so God has shown me that part of that belief is really seeking him in prayer for the things, for the divine purposes that he has for me for this coming season. And so not to go on with church as usual or ministry as usual, as life as usual, but really to draw to him and really spend time with him through basking in prayer. And that's how I really spend time with God, is when I pray. That's when I come into oneness with God. As the Father and the Son is one, so am I one with Jesus and with the Father and with the Holy Spirit of God. And so prayer to me is one of the most important things. And then we go into a fast in our church every year because, number one, as a member of the church, the pastor has it in his heart to really see God meet certain needs or seek direction for the church. So we go into a fast every year as a church, as a body, as oneness with God. And I always ask God, and the pastor never tells us how to fast, but what he says is he's believing that we'll fast for 21 days. And so it's up to me to really seek God how I should fast. And so one of the things I'd like for you to talk about, Dr. Hobbs, is how do I know how I should fast?
Wow. Well, I got to tell you, one of the things that we hear a lot is that it's not the length of a fast, but it's the leading. And it's important that we are very sensitive to that, that God will lead you to how to fast. But sometimes, Pauli, what some of the things that people say is a fast is really not a fast. And so, and I think the enemy lulls us into doing things that we're calling fast that are not fast. Because fasting is a physical prophetic act that an individual carries out by abstaining from the consumption of calories. In the Greek and Hebrew languages, the words for fasting are nestio and tism. The Greek word means to abstain from food or drink, and the Hebrew word means to cover your mouth. These two words, from Old Testament to New Testament thoughts, clearly define fasting as something that we do that requires us to stop taking food in. So I often hear people say, I'm a fast television, I'm going to fast shopping, I'm a fast sports.
Right.
What I get what they're saying, but it really and it's really important that we explain to people about the difference, because the enemy would love us to do something that's short of the act of fasting. And so fasting is really abstaining from taking food in. It is a voluntary abstaining from the consumption of calories for a prophetic or what the world calls a religious reason. And it has incredible manifestations. And I got to tell you, we in the church, we have given up this incredible weapon of the warfare that allows us to interface with the physical world and the spiritual world to accomplish things. I ran into a girl one time, and she said, you know what, I'm going to go on another 40-day fast. I said, wow, are you a Christian? She says, no, I'm a Buddhist. You know? And she said that when I fast for 40 days, it brings me back into balance. And I got to tell you, this was God's strategy. God invented this. God is the one that told us that we should fast, that some come out not for prayer and fasting. We know that Jesus' ministry got launched on this devotional habit. And so I tell people that, look, let's make sure you're clear on what a fast is, and it's a great tool, and what the reasons for, because we have to fast using God's definition of fasting, and we need to have right motive. And I know you were asking me, well, what are some of the kinds of fasts? Well, I tell people that if you're going to begin fasting, fast by faith and be discreet about it. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, because the more discreet you are about the fasting, the more power that your fasting has. Secondly, I recommend that you fast your belt weight. Like when a fighter doesn't go fight somebody that's a heavyweight and they're low weight. You have to find out where your level of discipline, because most of us, if you're like me, I was brought up by a Southerner, and food was the way you said we love you. I was loved all the time. I was loved every day. Three times, four times a day I was loved. And then I didn't really know how to psychologically or spiritually move into a place where I was actually giving up food that defined my life. But you got to understand, this is what fasting is. And I tell people that to start off with your fasting weight. And that is, if you've never fasted one digestive cycle, and what is a digestive cycle? It's typically 8 hours. Doctors and the medical people tells us that it takes about 8 hours for our body to reach a fasted state. And we use fasting as a staging center. You know, we want to get to a place where we're staging an ability to communicate and to engage in warfare and to meditate in prayer. We need to get to that fasted state. So that's the first step I would recommend somebody in this called me and called to prayer. Let God lead you to pray, but don't violate the principles of prayer. God knows what a fast is. He's not going to lead you to do something that's not technically a fast. And so, yes, it is a limp. And sometimes, you know, I have like prayer partners say, well, I'm going to give up breakfast. Well, you know what? Giving up breakfast alone often isn't a full digestive cycle, because as soon as breakfast is over, even before lunch starts, people just move their digestive cycle around. They didn't really give up. They're requiring those calories in another cycle. So I say, hey, let's start off with the basic digestive cycle, and then be aware that there are different types of fasts. And we're going to talk about those different types of fasts when we come back from this break, because it's really important for us to understand when we read the models and scriptures, and many of the people of God, the great people of God, were fasting people. But these people were working hard, agricultural people, and a lot of them wasn't on those 40 days fast because they would have killed them, you know? They fasted as God led them, but God's leading took into context the physical condition of the person, the circumstances of the person, gave them direction. Like Daniel, he had to stand before the king. If he went before the king with counsel with a sad face, they might have taken him out, injecting that bad atmosphere around the king. And so Daniel, it says in Daniel the 21st chapter, that he abstained from things that were sweet. And so we're going to come back and we're going to talk about using prayer and fasting as a great tool to manifest destiny. But how do we, with God's wisdom, actually pray and fast to get the results that God has ordained? We'll be right back.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. If you've just tuned in, you are listening to the Voice of Destiny Show. We are talking about strategic strategies for entering into the atmosphere of the new year. And my co-host today is Pastor Paulie Peterson. And we were talking about fasting in the last segment. And I got to tell you that it's really important to add fasting to your prayer. It is the Siamese twin to prayer. And this is why many of our prayer is not affecting or being fervent, because, Polly, we've not been able to move our prayer beyond the veil of the flesh, because we will not put the flesh down so that we can build us a prophetic stage to communicate with God. Psalms 144, verses 1 through 15, records the prayer of a skilled warrior by the name of David. From his days as a shepherd boy and throughout his reign as king of the nation of Israel, God empowered David in the art, science, and technologies of strategic prayer and spiritual warfare. And one of these strategic elements of prayer is fasting. Polly, did you want to say something before I move on?
Yes, I just want to say that listening to you in the segment before, prior, I just really gained a lot of information on what type of fast, what really is fasting and what isn't fasting, because what I thought was fasting was not, and that's what I heard today. And I just want to encourage all the listeners out there to go to your website and ask questions if they have specific things about health issues, what they can do and what they can't do. So I just want them to be encouraged to go to your website and write in any questions that they have, and you'll respond.
Well, thank you. Most of us at Voice of Destiny are lifestyle fasters, and we recognize that there are spiritual considerations, physical health consideration that we need to take in consideration as we engage in this strategic prayer and spiritual warfare instrument of fasting. And so we invite you to email us. If you email us at info@voiceofdestiny.org, that's info@voiceofdestiny.org, we will send you a fact sheet about fasting. But if you really want to go to the next level of engaging in prayer and fasting for a particular reason or a lifestyle, we encourage you to go to our website and order the Prayer and Fasting Health Kit that we offer to many of our partners that fast with us. Typically, the Friday night after Thanksgiving, we begin a 40 days of prayer and fasting. And some of us, we use those 40 days abstaining from all meat. Some of us use that 40 days from abstaining from all sugar. Some of us fast one digestive cycle. Some of us fast two. We use different strategy as the Lord leads us. As we mentioned, that it really isn't the length of the fast or the type of the fast. It is God's leading of the fast. But you have to know that God's not going to lead you into engaging in something that's not an actual fast. Sometimes we try to supplement real fasting with things that we consider to be acts of consecration, things that we do to remove distractions from seeking the Lord. Like we will abstain from shopping, or we'll abstain from watching television or entertainment. There's a lot of things we do, listening to certain kinds of music. We will abstain from those things to give us greater access. But we must have a revelatory and practical knowledge about what fasting is. And some of the kind of fasting that you want to be aware of in the Bible is normal fasting. This involves no solid or liquid food, but only lots of water or lots of liquids. We see this account of fasting in Genesis 24:33, which tells us Abraham's oldest and most trusted servant was determined not to eat until he found a wife for Isaac. When you are really desperate, this is a phenomenon where God will release you to say, hey, I want you to be in a complete normal fast, and this is only on liquids and waters. But this should be a fast that God had led you on, and you should use practical wisdom. Another kind of fast is what we call a total fast. That means no food and nothing to drink. This kind of fast is for special purposes and must be directed by the Spirit of the Lord, because your body needs liquids. So if you went without food and water, that's not very safe for your body. But it is examples of God leading different individuals, and typically mostly people that have gone on this were people that were heavily assigned and commissioned by God and anointed with the supernatural ability to do this. And I do this kind of fasting, but it's typically not 40 days. It's really on a very short-term basis where God wants me to strategically build a stage for prophetic prayer and intercession. And the third kind of fasting, which is the most common form of fasting in the Bible and the most common fasting that we do here at Voice of Destiny Ministries, and that is partial fasting. This is abstaining from certain foods and drinks, or eliminating them from our diet. For example, Daniel refused the king's meat and drink, and he ate only vegetables and water. And many refer to this as the Daniel fast. This is Daniel 1:12-13. And I got to tell you, my kids typically before the school year starts, they usually fast on sugar for about 40 days. And this really opens up their mind to develop intellectual powers. We see this happen in Daniel, the first chapter, where where Daniel and his peers accelerated their intelligence tenfold times their peers. And then this partial fasting gives you an ability to engage in this devotional cadence that allows you to move in and accomplish many of the spiritual things that you want. So partial fasting is something that you want to consider. The prophetess Anna, she fasted 21 years, you know, from the time that her husband had died. How in the world could she have done that all those years? Where it obviously had to be a form of partial fasting. These are just some basic principles that we like people to keep in mind. Yes, it's not the length, but it's the leading. But understand God's intelligence about his technology of fasting and prayer. Basic principle.
Amen.
Normal, with solid liquid foods. God, people do that on a very short term basis. The total fast, that means no food and nothing to drink, you know, is something that God used somebody on a temporary basis. But the partial fasting is the most dominant one. And I encourage people, again, to fast your fasting weight. If you've never fasted, one day, you need to start with a digestive cycle. And, of course, a digestive cycle is 8 hours, typically between the hours of 8 a.m. and 4 p.m., 4 p.m. and 12 midnight. And, of course, 12 midnight to 8 in the morning. This is where we get the term breakfast, because we are breaking the fast. The first meal in the day is breaking the fast that most of us should have been engaged in, and not eating in the middle of the night. It's not healthy for us. But I encourage people to observe these principles, using God's prophetic leading to you about how to engage them, and this will help you on your journey of breaking through and breaking the bands of wickedness and becoming a lifestyle faster and not just an event faster. I think this is really, really important basic principles to help people to cross that these thresholds.
Yeah.
Because for me, being raised a Southerner, food was a way that I said I love you. I mean, but we are guilty many times of practicing surfeiting, where we're overeating. Matter of lifestyle. But when we begin to pull away from this, we're going to begin to see that God will open up the heavens for us to be able to discern his voice and access the spiritual resources that we need to be, do, and have what God has destined for us. So, Polly, in closing, what would you say will be some best wisdom about fasting that God's taught you?
I think just listening to you today, Dr. Hopp, I picked up some great truths. And like I said earlier to the audience, when the pastor would leave us to fast, I'm leaving the ministry today knowing I'm much more informed on when I, number one, I'm going to ask God how I should fast and how long I should fast. I know that I need to fast because, one, in compliance and obedience to the word of God, and number two, as a member of the church and the body of Christ, because the pastor has asked me to fast. So those two reasons I'm going to fast. One is to seek the Lord for what he has for me and for this ministry and for people. And number two, out of compliance and obedience to as myself as a member of the body of Christ and of a church. So I praise God for that.
Well, I got to tell you, when we begin to fast, it triggers an elevated and an amplified state of communications between us and God. And this makes our prayers more effective because we're no longer praying prayers that are driven by our fears, our needs, and our wants. But we begin to pray prayers that align up with God's will, his intentions, his plans, and his awareness of those things that are yet to come. God bless you. Remember, today is a great day because this is a day the Lord has made for you.
You've been listening to the Voice of Destiny Show with your host, Pastor Daniel Hopp. Remember, kingdom information and revelation is power to be, do, and have everything God has destined for you. For more information about Voice of Destiny or to order copies of today's program, visit voiceofdestiny.org. That's voiceofdestiny.org. And become a fan on Facebook or follow us at Twitter under the name of The VOD Show.